Justin Carmichael was my friend. At least I felt like he was. He made everyone feel like his friend. I don't know if you ever talked to him directly or not.
Just through email.
It's what impressed me about him was how gregarious and genuine and just disarming he was when you talked to him. I first met him at MAGFest in 2011. We had been talking before that. He had already done his cameo for us for the Angry PC Engine Nerd.
Yeah.
And so we've been keeping in contact since then. And I think I might have asked him how MAGFest. I don't remember how this even happened, but we exchanged phone numbers. And so when I got there on Friday night, I messaged him and he came down and we chatted for a bit and perused Mad Gear together. Didn't say a whole lot at first, but he ended up helping me film people. We did this interviews of people with really these really awesome beards. It was secretly my way of talking to people because I am not an extroverted person by nature. And so I have the camera between us to sort of facilitate contact with strangers. It's not something I felt like he was comfortable with though, because he did not want to be on camera. I mean, maybe he thought the subject matter was, I don't know, but
it was a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. It was a bit ridiculous. He's not a guy who shies away from the ridiculous. Certainly not, but
that's true.
He was still very happy to help. And I went to his panel and yeah, he was like my only friend there. Cause I didn't know anyone. Cinder was supposed to be there too, but she had to cancel at the last minute. And but that's just what I remember the most was just, he was very happy to come on down and meet this person he had never met before and talk with me and spend time with me. And people kept coming up to him the entire time. It's like, oh my God, you're Drew Wario. You know, he called everyone his friend, and you believed it when he said it.
Yeah. So how did you first get involved with him in the first place?
Oh dear, I got an email. It might have been someone through 4CR. I don't recall. I have it somewhere. I haven't looked for it. I'm trying not to just go through stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But someone was asking on his behalf how he could get a Famicom Dojo shirt. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, we have this Zazzle store. And I gave him the link and I think he eventually sent me like a direct email, you know, thanking me for sending it. And I don't know if he plugged his show at that point, but that's how I found out he had one. And that's how I found out what that guy with the glasses was.
Yeah.
Cause I don't, Doug Walker and, Link Carr, whatever his real name is, they were both at Dice Show Con in, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. In 2009, I want to say, but I didn't know who they were. I knew they were guests, and I had a panel opposite Linkara, but that was about it. And so I never really followed up. And then, you know, it was through Justin that I found the rest of those guys, and I was just really impressed with his work. Like he's like our Famicom brother, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this is a guy you want to know. Not just because of that, but because he was just such a wonderful person on and off the camera.
For those who are a little confused about why we're talking about this man today, I'm sure most of you have already heard the news, but on January, in America time, it was January 24th or January 23rd?
The 23rd.
23rd. Okay. So 24th for me. We lost our good friend Drew Wario, right now it's what, the 25th?
It's the 26th.
26th. Everything
it's been
is
three
kind
days.
Of, yeah, everything is kind of a blur. Found out about it yesterday.
I think it was publicly made knowledge about 24 hours ago. A little more than that.
I woke up yesterday because I'm on Japan time, and I was and just checking through my email, and someone had sent me a message saying that he was really sorry for my loss, and it didn't register. I didn't get it. I thought that's a strange thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a bit of digging, and it still doesn't really totally seem real.
Yeah, I found out when my wife was out meeting some high school friends. So I was watching my older son, and I took an opportunity to check my email, and it was from the 4CR chat thread, and
yeah.
It basically probably the same way I found out he even existed, and just to say, you know, in a very abrupt way that he had died. And I was like, what? No, no, no. So I immediately did a search, and the first thing I found was a NeoGAF thread. It's like, well, NeoGAF, what do they know?
Yeah.
But it's like the denial didn't take very long to get over.
I held on to the denial a little bit longer, because in that, I don't know if it was that thread or somewhere else, but someone was saying that it's possible that the account was hacked and that it's not real. But
there are so many people that, you know, who would know better, who said that.
Yeah,
this is for real.
Yeah. So
I just had a wave of disbelief just now. Anyway,
I know it's because just 2 days ago, I was at home watching Sick Kids, and it was a good chance to talk with you. Remember, we Skyped, and we discussed kind of upcoming episodes. We do this every now and then. We just have a chat to figure out what we're doing next. And I mean, we were talking right about like upcoming Jew Wario cameo, you know?
Yeah, I wanted someone had emailed us a while ago or messaged us on Facebook, I think, about Back to the Future 2 and 3, the NES game, something that we talked about in our podcast at one point. And
yeah.
And like, you know, I know Justin had done this just really wonderful review about Super Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
And that's something that you sent me over the summer.
Yeah.
Because I that's why I wanted to get the game. And so like I wanted to like do this trick. I wanted to plug his video, and then I wrote a little cameo for him. And we were talking. It's like, you know, should we ask him if he wants to do it? And you're like, sure. So I asked him on Friday, not knowing. In fact, I had just emailed him on Tuesday, and he replied to me on Wednesday. Because last year we were actually planning to do some kind of Famicom two-parter together for the 30th anniversary, which never happened because like my job situation changed, and I guess his changed too,
and shoot with him at his place.
I was going to fly out there to Colorado,
and you're going to record the commentary track for season two, right?
Yeah, we were going to have everyone who was on the show do a guest commentary track for the episode they were in.
I read a fairly good quote, and it says that it's not that it's heroic or cowardly what happened. It's just sad. We've talked about this before. I mean, I loved watching his videos, but it was always with a slight air of jealousy. Because yeah. I always thought, wow, I really hope that someday we can, you know, be as popular or have as many followers. But like, I never thought we'd really ever get there, because he was just so incredibly loved.
I mean, and it was with such good reason, because
yeah.
he was just so genuine. Like I talked to him three times. Each time, like in person, each time at MAGFest,
yeah.
He actually sat in with the podcast.
Yeah.
The second time I was there, and like, you know, he's the guy who loved Professor Layton. It's like, you know, it's like he's the guy who loved retro import gaming, and he seemed to love interacting with his fans. And like every time someone had the courage to come up to him and be like, hey. can I have an autograph or can I just say hi to you? And he was like, of course, my friend.
Yeah. My correspondence with him has been just really over email, but even through that, like, he was always excited about what was going on. And I always felt kind of embarrassed to ask him to do stuff for us because, you know, in my mind, he's kind of an internet celebrity and we're kind of, I'd like to think we are too, but, you know, it's a different caliber. But not only was he always willing to do things and generous with his time, but like when we would ask him to record just a little clip, like a couple of lines, he'd do like 30 takes of it and send us this gigantic file. And we could, you know, choose the best clips from. Like the whole thing with Minus World, the plumber thing. I think we put in what 20 seconds of that, right?
Yeah, he.
But he sent us like 14 minutes of footage. You know, it was so many different takes and explaining to us the process of how he was filming it.
I know, right? Like he was such, you know, in addition to being a wonderful person, he was such a consummate artist and performer. Yeah. And that's like, he loved doing this. He just loved it. And even for Akeem, he was just so happy to do it. And like watching his process was absolutely amazing. He would just riff he got into that Mario character. And he did not break it.
He didn't break it for the entire time. Even when he was explaining the technical process, there's a part in that video where, well, he's plunging the toilet, obviously, and he's getting squirted with, I guess it was supposed to be toilet water.
Right.
Luckily, it wasn't really. In his hand, he had a little squirt bottle. So right. he was doing his own special effects at the same time, too. And he must have done 20 takes of that.
It just got better and better each time. Like he was really trying to get it just right.
But it was great because he would explain. He's like, he would be like, it's not a really toilet water. I actually, you can't see it because it's off camera, but I have this little water bottle right here. And every time you think it's the toilet, it's just a me squirt in the face. You know, you know, like I'm doing a terrible impression of both Justin and Mario there, but I mean, it was so funny to watch. I wanted to put the entire thing in the video, you know.
I just felt so grateful whenever he would do something like that for us, because I'm like, how can anyone just be that giving? I don't know. It's just he just made it really clear. He even leave us like a little personal notes, like, you know, like thanking us for doing it, asking him to do it, you know. And it's like he did such a good job. I tried to include as much as possible. Like I reworked Minus Worlds around his bits.
Yeah.
Because it was just initially like this one little section, but I had to keep using it because there were just so many things.
Well, I remember after film, it was either after the first or second thing he filmed for us. I emailed him just to thank him for it. And he was saying, no, thank you for letting me be part of your video series. And I'm just like, I don't know. You know, I wish we had emailed more.
I
always, yeah. There was limit to it.
I'm still feeling guilt.
Guilt?
Yeah, I feel guilty.
Yeah?
Because I just don't feel like I can measure up, basically. Like the last time I saw him, you know, again at a MAGFest, I barely got to talk to him and it was entirely my fault. I was on my phone with my wife and he just walked by and I kind of said hello and I couldn't really, you know, I was on the phone. I couldn't really talk to him and he was already gone. And I tried texting him later and I never heard back.
Yeah.
But I was just like, well, that was my chance. And I messed up. And then, you know, we were corresponding about doing that crossover video.
Yeah.
It, like the last time we had messaged each other was in July.
Yeah.
And like I said something about maybe I'll try and come out in September or October, depending. And then, you know, I never followed up. Like I never explained, oh, I can't now because, you know, we're selling our house, or, you know, my second child was born and it's been just crazy for me. But I never, like, if I was actually a friend, I would have let him know what was going on with my life, which kind of translates to me wondering, like, why didn't I know more about what was happening in his? And that's just not something I want to think about, because that's not fair.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, I was going to see him at some Mag Fest in the future. Right. I figured when my kids got old enough that, you know, I'd come down there with you sometime and stop doing the VinkCon every year. and, you know, actually join you out for one of those. And one of the reasons, main reasons, was so I could meet, you know, Drew, Wario and stuff, rather than just our, you know, email correspondence and occasional videos. But I didn't think, there's nothing in my mind that prepared me for the fact that I wouldn't at some point have that chance.
I was so excited to just go out there and hang out with them. Like, yeah. not even to film the stuff, really, but I just wanted to just see what his world was like.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always think you'll have more time.
Similar experience happened to me when I was much younger. When one of my friends passed away suddenly from meningitis, you know, and it did kind of change how I saw things. You know, I try not to leave any argument with someone mad, you know?
Right.
So you never know. But at the same time, I don't know. It just, there's not this feeling that there was any immediacy in anything we were doing. I don't know. But please, anybody listening to this right now, you guys are important. And we're just this podcast voice out in the out there nowhere, but I mean, please know that I don't even know what I'm saying, Sean.
Well, Justin said it himself. Someone had posted a clip from a stream he had done where he said pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll if you haven't seen it, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send that to me. It's hard to know how to feel exactly. He wasn't a close friend, but I always felt like he would be someday. Or even if he wasn't, I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, which I think is where my guilt is coming in. It's like, what could I have done more to just really let him know what I was thinking and feeling?
Yeah.
Not necessarily that it would have made any difference, just...
No, but yeah. I just can't take anything for granted anymore, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You always think you have time to do it later. You know? So, I don't know what happens with the death of someone whose body of work is on the internet. What happens now?
That's a really good question. And we kind of have to answer that question for our own stuff, because the way we're going to handle this and the reason we're recording this is it's kind of like therapy for us.
Yeah.
And maybe for anyone else who's listening, but we want to be so, so careful to not make it seem like we're taking advantage of anything. I mean, I'm not going to number this, you know, I'm not going to promote it. I don't even know. It's definitely not going to be on the website. I don't know how long it'll stay in the feed, but you know, this is for everyone who's affected by this now.
Yeah.
Cause we just feel like we have to do and say something.
I mean, after it happened, the first thing we thought was we need to do something. And we're like, could we put together a tribute video? And we're like, no, it would be tacky. All we've got is the clips from our stuff, you know. It would be like self-promotion, you know.
Right. But, I mean, I would love to put up those Mario clips that you mentioned, but I don't think now is the right time.
I can't watch them right now. I was pretty upset when I heard the news, and I was trying to explain to my wife what was going on, and I loaded up our Minus World video, and I'm like, it was you know, this guy, and I realized where that scene was coming from, and I don't know, I just had to turn it off. I'm not quite ready. And there's a video he did just a couple days ago with what's his name? Is it Dave Manning?
Dear, I feel terrible. He used to go by the Game Geo, which is how Justin got his name.
Yeah, and they did a song together. As he does a song a day. If you're not subscribed to his channel, it's pretty good. But he does a song every day, and his song for the 22nd, 23rd? Oh my gosh, it might have actually been the day that it actually went up. Was a duet with a Jewario called Two Jews Who Love Mario. And this was recorded like just hours before.
Right.
I
Jonathan Mann is his name.
Jonathan Mann, that's it. Sorry. But this was recorded just hours before, and you watch it and I don't know, it just brought tears to my eyes. I don't know if I even recommend watching it, especially if you were. I want to rewatch some of his stuff, but it's just really hard right now.
I'm just worried because, like I said, I talked to him on, well, via email, of course, earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And all he said in reply was that he would if he wants to do any kind of video or anything for Famicom Dojo, he will always be available. And I was just like, okay. So it took me 2 days to reply. I had my own stuff going on with my job and making some big life decisions this week, basically. And
yeah.
And so like I didn't get back to him that day or the next day. And by the time I did, it was too late. And I don't know. Part of me, on one hand, I feel like I should have gotten back faster. And on the other, I almost worry if there was like something I said that, I don't know. I can't.
Don't do that to yourself. I mean, I know you look through and you. I think that's one of the first things people start thinking is whether they could have done anything. And I think, and just to even speculate is a bit of a disservice. But I mean, knowing the kind of guy he was, there must have been some real demons going on, because everyone was surprised by this news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes something like this happens and you're like, yeah, there were warning signs and stuff, but I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole of trying to understand the nature of, well, any of this.
I think the people who did know and were privy to it, it's probably fair to say that like everything they could have done was done.
Yeah. Yeah.
We recorded some shows ahead of time and, you know, we don't want to stop doing our show.
No.
But it just felt like the one we had ready to go this week was just not going to be appropriate. I mean, not because of the content, just because it feels frivolous.
Yeah.
But like, you know, this is the kind of thing that he loved, and like if for no other reason, he wouldn't want us to stop doing what we're doing, because he did these sorts of things too, and he loved it and we love it, and I assume everyone listening loves it too. it's a project of passion, and he had that passion in spades. And it would be, you know, part of me is just like, well, I give up now. This is too silly to continue. But I don't think that's fair. But that's true.
He was a fan of what we did. That's how he got in touch with us in the first place. But the stuff that he did was just absolutely amazing. You saw Famicom and Rider, which unfortunately will never be finished now.
I don't know if you ever watched it, but he was in That Guy with the Glasses movie.
Oh, yeah. I saw it.
You did see it. Yeah. He turned out this spectacular self-effacing performance.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember if I told him that I saw it and was impressed. I don't remember. Like, I should just go through the emails.
Yeah, I can't really go through all that stuff right now. I don't know. I was going through his YouTube channel and reading all the comments that people have put there. And I mean, it's the internet, so there's always a couple, you know, pretty terrible things, but in general it's just, he was so loved. You know, all of this, I'm usually not at a loss for words, you know, especially in one of these podcasts. But I mean, I keep putting out these like half sentences that don't go anywhere because I really don't know what to say. Not much in your life prepares you for this sort of thing. And I can't even imagine what it's like for his family. I can't. I mean, we are sitting here. I'm in Japan and you're in Wisconsin. I'm far away from the whole situation. And we're sitting here wondering what could have been done. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be any closer to this situation. I don't know if the way a story ends ruins the story.
I've never thought so, and specifically in this case, I definitely don't think so.
But I just hope that he can be remembered for all the good things that he did.
He only ever seemed to do good things, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I'm reminded of a Mitch Hedberg joke about endings. And, you know, you don't shy away from something because of how it ends.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't want to eat this delicious apple because eventually it'll become a core. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that totally makes sense, but I don't think it's, I would like to liken it to a book with a bad ending, but it doesn't seem like that to me. It seems like a book that was only half written. And I think that's the problem here is, I don't know, man.
I didn't really know him in his personal life, so... No. So when I say I'm his friend, it's like it's more like I really wanted to be his friend, and he you know, like I said, was very generous and very outgoing and very caring with people, but he just did not talk about himself, not to me anyway. Pushing Up Roses posted something on her website about her struggles with depression and suicide, and how he helped her through that. And I mean, he just must know, right? Like, he just must see that same thing.
If any of you all listening, one of the worst things to do, when talking about a subject such as suicide is to in any way glorify it. And to, by the outpouring he got, I'm sure some people will think, wow, they'll care, you know, someone will care about me if that thing happens. Please, I know, I don't know who's listening right now, but please, if you have any thoughts like this at all, please call, please seek some help, talk to a family member, talk to somebody. The worst thing that could happen is that these thoughts just keep going on without getting some help, because I don't know everybody who listens to our podcast, obviously. I don't know everybody who goes on the show, but I've met a lot of you and I've talked with a lot of you, and I people are so important to me. You listening right now. Maybe we've never even met, maybe we've never talked, but you're important to me too, and just please, everyone, take care of each other, you know? I'm sorry. I don't know if that's, I don't know if that sounded good or bad or dumb or I don't know. Just everything's just kind of coming out unfiltered right now.
Yeah, we're all still processing, and I think we'll have a better idea of what to say and do later, but we just felt like we had to say something now for everyone else who's going through this with us.
I mean, I posted some, I couldn't bring up to post until about, I don't know, 14, 15 hours after I heard, but I had to put something on to just acknowledge that we care, you know?
Yeah.
But I wrote like 3 sentences. I just, on our Facebook, but even that, it took me like an hour to write. I just had, it's, I don't even know how to put in words the things going on right now.
I mean, there's, I feel like our communities are so tightly knit, you know, and the broader this story gets, it just becomes kind of a story, and the people who don't know him personally, don't know him as a personality, don't know the kinds of people who, you know, and enjoy each other's company like this, that something's just gonna be misconstrued and conveyed poorly. And there's nothing we can do about that. But I just want to be here to be, and like you said, like, you know, you are important. We aren't stupid. What we do isn't stupid.
Yeah. The outpouring from everything, mainstream sites, just everybody. There were so many people who were affected by this, you know?
Yeah. The thing you keep hearing repeated is that, like, no one really had a bad thing to say about him. And I felt like we had to add our voices to the chorus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's true.
You can't. I know a lot of people have said, well, you know, it was all just acting. You know, that's the online persona he had. But, like, you can't act that persona for that long without it being part of who you really are.
Yeah, you could just tell when you met him. You know, what you saw was what you got.
If any of you are going through anything like this, please don't go about it alone. There are people who will listen. There are people who care, and just all of you are important. All of you have value, and no matter how bad things may seem, please don't give up. I guess I'll just end it with, there's a clip, and I might be misquoting this, but in the first segment that he did for us, for Angry PC Engine Nerd, at the end of it, the whole joke was that we had him on the show, but we never really let him talk about anything. But at the end, he was like, he was pretending to be angry at Famicom Dojo, and then he wound it up with, "Oh, I can't stay mad at you."
We didn't ask him to do that. That was all him.
That wasn't in the script, although we put it in because we liked it so much.
I know, we had it's like a whole minute of him just going off and ending that way, and we just kept the whole thing.
But that last line just kind of comes back to me, and the whole "we can't stay mad at you." Oh, sorry, "I love you guys," but I mean, coming back at it, I can't begin to even comprehend what the situation was at the end, Justin, but "we can't stay mad at you, and we love you." I, that's really all I got to say, Sean.
Okay.